I'll take that as my cue to get up here. So good to see everyone here today. It's my pleasure to welcome you to the Lord's house this morning. It's a great day to be in God's house and celebrate, as we did last week, His resurrection. We're going to be focusing this morning, what are we supposed to do after that? We're supposed to go and tell. So there's a lot of people in the world needs to hear about Him and the resurrection and what He's done for us. So we're going to, our songs will be about that this morning. We're going to open with Rescue the Perishing. So if you could stand with us, please. It's good to see everyone here this morning.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are smiting Him, still He is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by the loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for the labor the Lord will provide. patiently with them till the poor wanderer, a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
He is indeed merciful, and He will save. Good to welcome everyone here this morning. If we have any visitors, special welcome to you. Turn and greet each other as our pastor comes to the stage this morning.
Well, it's good to see you today. We welcome you to our Sunday morning worship time. We also welcome those who are watching by Facebook and YouTube. And those who listen by way of radio, we welcome you to our service today. Glad that you're here. This is the day that the Lord's made, so we rejoice and we're glad in it. I'll be preaching today from the Gospel of Mark 16:7. I'll be talking about the empty tomb and the greatness of God's grace. So we'll be talking about that this morning. May we pray together. Lord, we do thank you for the day, and we thank you for this opportunity we have to be together. Lord, as we have gathered here today, we want to honor you in what we do. And we want to worship you in spirit and truth. I ask today that you would bless us as we gather together. We pray, Lord, today that we'd open our hearts to you and to your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. There's several announcements listed in your bulletin there, couple of special services we're highlighting there. Sunday, May the 8th, will be Mother's Day service and baby dedication service. And also on the 15th, graduate recognition service. So if you want to be a part of those services, please contact Leslie, let her know, and we'll get you on that list. Also, on the back of your bulletin, we've been contacted by Second Harvest Food Bank. They're going to do a food drive here the third Friday of every month, use our parking lot, and if anybody would like to help with that distribution, they said, just let me know and I'll get in touch with them. You could help with that if you feel led to do that. But they'll be feeding the community here the third Friday of each month. So I can talk to you more about that as we get closer to the time. All right, we're going to continue with our song service this morning. Send the light and Jesus saves. You join in with us this morning.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, there are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. Shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, and a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for the crown. Say spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward to our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing the islands of the sea. Echo back the ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Light is death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Great songs of evangelism there. Jesus saves. We're going to continue with that. Ask you to join in with us. If you could stand, please, if you're able to stand and sing, "For God so loved the world." It's taken from John 3:16. God so loved the world.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find His mercy, come to the table He will satisfy. His goodness, find what you're looking for God so loved the world that He gave us His one and all His Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever. Bring all your failures, your addiction, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and all His Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him for the wonder. The world that He gave us is one and only His Son to save us. For God so loved the world that He gave us is one and only His Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved. Your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
Thank you. You may be seated. We're so thankful for His love for us. We're going to sing about Amazing Grace and Our Sins Are Gone. You join in with us. I know many of you, it may be your favorite song, one of your favorites, so you join in with us as we sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like the flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Good to me, His to shine, but God, you called me here below, will be forever mine, will be
Heavenly Father, we thank you for songs of grace and your love for us. God, we thank you for the cross and the empty tomb. We pray, God, that you would help us to go and tell. We'd go and tell others that you have risen from the dead and your love for us. God, we thank you for the hope that comes through the empty tomb. We thank you for the hope of heaven. I ask that you open our hearts as we receive your word today. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. Mark 16:7. I've been wanting to preach on this passage for a long time, and I just never could get it together. And I really don't think this is a passage I could have probably preached early in my ministry, because I really don't think I'd have the understanding and sympathy to preach it the way that I want to do today. But through experience and wisdom and age and everything, I feel comfortable in preaching from this passage today, the empty tomb and the greatness of grace. Mark 16:7 is the verse that I want to read. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. There are two key words there that I want to focus on today. And Peter. And Peter. Those two words make all the difference in the world. They make all the difference in my life. They make all the difference in your life. But in this passage, what we see in Mark's account of the resurrection, and he gives the writing here of what is going on, and you see those two words, and Peter. There in the sense, in one sense, is the gospel and Peter. We see the gospel right here. Why Peter? Because our Lord knew his heart. What had happened to Peter? Peter had denied the Lord. And so, just imagine how Peter felt. Imagine what was going on in his heart. But you see, God knows your heart and he knows my heart. He knows how we feel about him. And even in this situation of denial, the Lord knew that Peter really did love him. But he denied the Lord. In Luke 22:61-62, Luke says this, that after the denial, if I can say it, after Peter denied the Lord, then Luke tells us that the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Verse 61 says of Luke 22, then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Verse 62 says, so Peter went out and wept bitterly. Bible scholars tell us that the denial took place in the courtyard in front of the high priest's house, in the front of Ananias and Caiaphas' house where they lived, is where the denial took place. And this look that Jesus gave Peter happened after Peter denied him. And what they feel like is that as the Roman guards were leading Jesus from the high priest's house to go to the Roman trial, that as they walked across the courtyard, Jesus made eye contact with Peter. Could you imagine that look? Could you imagine what was going through Peter's heart and Peter's mind after denying the Lord? Well, the Bible tells us that what happened was after that look, that Peter wept bitterly. It really broke his heart. He felt a deep sense of shame. He felt all that. But where I want you to see the true Peter today is not in his denial, but we see the true Peter in his repentance and how he got back to the Lord. And so what Peter's life reminds us of, though, is it reminds us of the power of the empty tomb and the greatness of God's grace in our life. Peter denied the Lord. I mean, that's something that I don't know that, you know, in Peter's mind, he said, I'll never do that, Lord. He said, I'll never deny you. I'll give my life for you. Now, eventually, he did. And tradition tells us that Peter was crucified upside down because of his faith in the Lord. And the reason he was crucified upside down, he said that he did not feel worthy to be crucified like Jesus. So that's how it ended for Peter. But see, we've all been where Peter was. We've all been there. We've all made mistakes. We've all fallen short. We've all had those setbacks. We've all had those sorrows. So I just wonder, is there anyone here today who needs to hear and Peter? I know I do. I need to hear that gospel and Peter. But again, see, the Lord wanted to make a point here. Let Peter know. Tell Peter. James 3:2 says this, that we all, and that word all means all, it means all of us, and we all stumble in many ways. Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what is the message of the empty tomb? It's a message of grace. It's a message of power. It's a message of a new beginning. It's a message of a new start. It's a message of God's grace. But it is a message of mercy to each and every one of us. What Peter needed more in his life right here than anything else was he needed God's grace and he needed God's mercy. See, when we mess up and we get off track and we stumble and all that kind of thing, what we need to know is God's mercy. And so that's what the cross is all about. That's what the resurrection is all about. Jesus came to restore. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save. I have come to restore. That was the ministry of Jesus Christ. So these two words reveal three truths that I want to talk to you about. And Peter reveal three truths. Number one, recovery is possible. Now, when I talk about recovery, what I'm talking about is how Peter got back to where he needed to be with the Lord. And he did. Peter got back to where he needed to be. And that's what I want to talk about. You see, the key takeaway this morning is that recovery is possible for each and every one of us, regardless of our stumbles, regardless of our poor decisions, regardless of our mistakes and failures and all that. Recovery is possible. Why? Because of the empty tomb, because of the grace of God, because of the mercy of God. We all need His mercy and we need His grace. Now, as good Baptists, we believe in eternal security because that's what the Bible teaches. And the reason we believe in eternal security is this. Because if God is big enough to save us, God is big enough to keep us. If God was big enough to come out of that empty tomb and to conquer death, hell, and the grave, He is big enough and strong enough to keep us. We do not keep ourselves saved. When Peter denied the Lord, he did not lose his salvation. He didn't. He was just as saved. And so we believe in God's keeping and God's power. We believe in that the life that He gives us is eternal life. But here's what we need to understand. Just like Peter, sometimes we drift. Sometimes we drift away. And sometimes there's a coldness that comes, and that fellowship with the Lord, that, you know, it's just not where we want it to be. So we need to get back, and we need to understand that. But that doesn't mean that we lose our salvation. Psalm 86:5 says this, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." And Peter, those two words to Peter were like water to a dying, thirsty man. That's what Peter needed to hear. More than any criticism, more than anything else, of condemnation or anything like that, or why did you deny the Lord, Peter? What he needed to hear is, "And Peter." Peter needed reassurance. He needed to hear the voice of the Savior to say, "Peter, I love you. I care for you. I died on the cross for you. I rose again for you. Peter, I know where you are." You see, Peter thought that the Lord would probably disown him. He had failed big time. But again, the good news of the gospel came to Peter. And that's the good news of the gospel, folks. The good news of the gospel to all of us is, hey, we can have a second chance. The good news of the gospel is we can have that new beginning. And so recovery is possible. You think about the Bible stories of men and women who had second chances. What about Moses? Before Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, do you know that he was a murderer? What about David? I mean, David messed up big time. But David was the greatest king that Israel ever knew. And the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that the commentary, God's commentary on David was this, even with David's mess ups and failures, that he served God with his heart. What about Jonah? Jonah was that reluctant prophet who didn't want to go to Nineveh and preach what God wanted him to preach. And God kept telling Jonah, "Jonah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do this." So he wouldn't do it. And he wound up in the belly of the great fish. And so the Bible says that when Jonah came back on land, that the word of God came to him a second time. You know what that is? That's a second chance. That's a new beginning. That was a new start for Jonah. And see, that's what we all need. Now, no one says, and I'm not saying today, that this recovery is going to be automatic, because it isn't. The rich young ruler, do you remember him? He came to Jesus. He wanted a new start. He wanted a new beginning. He really wanted to know what eternal life in heaven and Jesus was all about. But you know what the Bible says about him? He walked away sorrowful. And so it's not automatic. It wasn't automatic for Peter. But this verse and Peter is for men and women, for people just like you, just like me. It's for us. This verse is for us. It's for people who know they need the Lord. It's for people who will recognize, hey, we're not perfect, and we mess up, and we need God's grace, we need God's mercy. That's who this verse is for. It was Peter's tears of repentance that brought God's mercy into his life. That's where it started for Peter. You see, there's no chance for recovery unless there is repentance and a broken heart. You see, the Bible says that after the Lord looked at Peter, what did Peter do? He went out and he wept bitterly. He was heartbroken. That's not what Peter wanted to do. He didn't want to deny the Lord. Peter loved the Lord. He had a love for Jesus. And he just, you know, he messed up. He really did. And so the angels who delivered the resurrection message wanted Peter to know that there was a second chance, that there was another opportunity. So the empty tomb means hope for all of us. But it is possible. Recovery is possible. We can get back. Second truth is recovery is personal. The love of Christ singles us out by name. In John chapter 10, Jesus is talking about his sheep. That's you, that's me. That's people who believe in him, people who know him. We're his sheep. But in John 10, you know what the Bible says? That he calls us by name. He called Peter by name. And Peter. There have been times in my life when he's called my name and John. Because I've messed up. And I've stumbled. And, you know, we're just not perfect. See, folks, here's where we need to be with this. When we get saved, our soul is saved for eternity. The soul inside of you, the soul inside of me, that is saved. But this old flesh, this old body that we have, is not saved yet. And so that's why it's so hard. And as Paul says, you know, when he wanted to do good, he said, I didn't do good, I did bad. And he said, it's this war that I have within me. But recovery is personal. You see, it's one thing to believe in Jesus, but to know that he believes in us is quite a different thing. You see, the Lord wasn't going to give up on Peter, and he's not going to give up on you, and he's not going to give up on me. We all know how painful regret can be. We know how painful all that is in our lives because we've all been there. But what the Bible does is show us how Peter got back. And that's what I want to talk about now. How did Peter get back? Well, he got back because the Lord loved him and because of God's grace to him. In Luke 22, 31, 34, listen to this. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, that's another name for Peter. Indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Who else in the Bible do we know that Satan went after? Do you remember a man in the Old Testament by the name of Job? He went after Job. He went after Peter. And I'm going to tell you another thing. He's going to come after you. So he went after Peter to sift him as wheat. Verse 32, listen to what Jesus said. But I have prayed for you. Amen. Jesus not only prayed for Peter, but he prayed for you and he prayed for me. I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Not that, you know, he's going to lose his salvation or anything like that. But that your faith should not fail. When you have returned, see, that's God being God. That's God, Jesus knowing all things. When you have returned to me, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to strengthen your brethren. And so then he went ahead and told Peter, you know, Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter said, Lord, I'll never do that. But he did. So, how did Peter get back? Here's how he got back. First of all, Christ prayed for Peter. The Bible tells us that Jesus is seated by the right hand of the Father in heaven. And you know what he's doing there? He's praying for you. He's praying for me. Just like he prayed for Peter. You see, Peter had to learn some things. He learned from his failures. He learned from his mistakes. But he didn't quit. He kept going. Why? Because Christ was praying for him. Second thing, Christ understands us. Jesus knew the fear that would grip Peter's heart. Now remember where Peter was. He was in the courtyard. He was around a lot of people at that fireside who wanted to put Jesus to death. One of the young girls said, you're one of them. You're a disciple. Peter said, no, I'm not. And so just like Jesus had predicted, three times Peter denied the Lord. But you see, Jesus understood that. He understood Jesus' failure. He understood Peter's failure. He understands our failure. He understands our weakness. You know what I'm thankful for? That the well of God's grace never runs dry. It's there, folks. And I have gone there many times. And I've trusted in Him. And I've trusted in His grace. And I've trusted in His mercy just like you have. The third thing was Christ had compassion on Peter. He prayed for him. He knew the circumstances. He knew all that was going on in Peter's life. One of the great stories in the Bible that I think illustrates this is the story of the prodigal son. You see, Jesus' arms was open wide for Peter to come back. And Peter did. But you think about the prodigal son, and when the father saw his son coming back, what did the father do? He welcomed his son with open arms. And that's how Jesus welcomes us. He's standing with open arms today. Fourth thing was Christ restored Peter just like He restores us. There's a third truth here that I want to talk about, and that is that recovery is private. In 1 Corinthians 15:5, the Bible tells us this fact about the resurrection. That Peter was one of the first, was the first apostle who saw Jesus after the resurrection. But what that passage in Corinthians tells us is this, that on purpose, the first apostle that Jesus wanted to meet and talk to after the resurrection was Peter. He went to Peter first, the one who had denied Him, the one who needed a word of reassurance, the one who needed mercy, the one who needed grace, the one who needed the love of God in his life, the Lord went to him. And so that's the first thing that the Lord did. So what the Lord did, though, was to meet with Peter privately. We don't know where the meeting took place. If it was close to the tomb or away from the tomb, but it was a private meeting that took place. You see, Peter thought he was finished. Peter thought that, you know, well, the Lord's through with me. But what Peter found out was this, that even though he denied the Lord, even though he had his mess up, even though he had his stumble, even though he did something, you know, that broke his heart, Peter found out that the Lord never denied him. And He'll never deny us. So how do we know this? How do you know that? How do I know that? Because most of us have been there. We know what it is to ask for God's mercy. We know what it is to ask for God's grace. So these two words make all the difference in the world. And Peter. And Peter. And John. And you just fill in the blank with your name there and whatever your name is. So He knows our weaknesses. He knows our circumstances. So the question in closing is this. How are we going to deal with our stumbles? How are we going to deal with our poor decisions? How are we going to deal with our mess-ups and our mistakes? Well, the only way to deal with it is the way that Peter did, and that is becoming humble. Acknowledging, you know, hey, Lord, I blew it here. And also repentance. And that's how he got back. Monday, I left here early Monday, went down, picked up my buddy in Sweetwater, and went down to Cleveland, picked up another buddy. We had a buddy who died. We were going to his funeral Monday morning. We all were seminary buddies, and so we went down to Dillard, Georgia for the funeral. And after the funeral, I'd never been to this place, but I've heard about it, the Dillard House in Dillard, Georgia. I'd never eaten there, and so after the service, we went there and ate. And we're talking about our buddy Tommy and a lot of good memories we had of him and everything. But on the way back in the car, one of my buddies, who's a pastor, he said, you know, at our church we have a saying. And I said, well, what is that saying that you have? And he said, here's the saying that we have. you can't be good enough long enough. Now, he went ahead to explain that. But you can't be good enough long enough. Folks, it's not our goodness that gets us into heaven. It's the cross. It's the empty tomb. It's what Jesus has done for us. None of us can be good enough long enough. We're not perfect. None of us have a perfect life. But I know this, that Jesus stands with his arms open wide, and that recovery is possible. Recovery is personal, and recovery is private. And we need to do what Peter did. And I've done that in my own life, is just have that private conversation with the Lord and say, Lord, this, I need your help. And that gets us back to where we need to be with him. We thank God today for his grace and for his mercy. Because, folks, we're all sinners saved by grace. And that's all you can say about it, okay? Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank you for the gospel, and we thank you for this story and Peter's life and the lessons that we can learn from it. And Lord, we all need your grace. We all need your mercy. We all need your forgiveness. And Lord, today we know that you stand with open arms to receive us. I pray, Lord, today that you would help us to see the lesson here that we need to see. Recovery is possible. A new beginning is possible. A second chance is possible. Lord, you're not through with us. You're not. You have a purpose for us. As we think about Peter today, Peter's life wasn't over. Because after John 21, we see Peter in the book of Acts. And we know that Peter became the leader of the early church. Peter went everywhere preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we find great encouragement in that. I ask today, dear God, that we'd open our hearts to you, we'd open our lives to you, and that we would receive your grace and mercy today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
Phyllis, would you come up here, please? Here at our church, of course, we have staff here. If you didn't know it, I'm the pastor, preacher. Jeff's here with us on staff. And Leslie is on staff with us. She's our church secretary. And Phyllis has been on staff with us here for 20 years as our financial secretary. And Phyllis came to us at a good time. The Lord really sent her to us. She had a skill set that we really needed in finances. And she could do workers, payroll taxes and stuff like that. And if you don't know anything about that, that's pretty hard stuff to do. So anyway, she could do all that and everything. But Phyllis has decided to retire again. So she was with the city and utilities before she came to us and retired. Now she decided to do that again. But what we want to do this morning is recognize you, Phyllis, and thank you. And it's, this is hard stuff. That's really hard. And we appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Love you. But be sure to speak to her before you leave today. It's kind of been, for about a month here, it's kind of been herky-jerky, but we're in a good spot because Les and Phyllis work well together, and Les is going to assume some of Phyllis's responsibilities, and then, but Phyllis, you know, we had our talk on a Monday morning, and then that was kind of, you know, okay, what are we going to do now? And then the next day, Jim Thomason, who's done our annual audits here and monthly audits and financial stuff, CPA, Jim said, I need you to come up to my office. That was the next day. He said, oh, by the way, I'm going to retire. So that was kind of a, you know, okay, what are we going to do now? So, but we've been in transition with our financial staff here and responsibilities, and everything's gone smooth, and we wanted to get towards routine, but from this point on, we have outsourced a lot of what Phyllis did to Warren Jackson, and it's a CPA firm here, and they have offices here, Sweetwater, Athens, and so we'll be working with them going forward. So just keep praying for us, but I told Phyllis I miss you. I mean, that, you know, when you work with somebody every day, you just miss each other, but she's still here, still be part of us. But before you leave today, be sure to speak to her, okay? Worship team will come now with our closing song of benediction.
Let's stand, please. As we go through this week, may we remember that people all around us, people need the Lord, as our pastor mentioned in his message this morning.
People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord.
You're dismissed. Thank you.